The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Today's secret melody is... Now, the next time you hear that on the show, call the station, hum it, and here's our answer to tell you how you're going to win.
You'll win nothing. Yes, you'll get absolutely nothing for repeating a secret melody. But keep trying if the phones are busy.
Maybe that's the melody.
Never find me as long as this whole house holds together.
Give us a house to wreck, we'll tear it down by heck. Give us a house to wreck, we'll tear it down by heck. We'll put out the pipes and tear down the walls and chop the chimney till it falls. We'll hammer and dig and pry and peck. Just give us a house to wreck.
Here's the house, old Puddinhead.
Why, we'll take this joint apart in no time. We'll pull out the pipes and tear down the wall and chop the chimney till it falls. Just give us a house to wreck.
Don't either you touch another piece of this house.
This is the house that Cthulhu Chronicles built, and we're here to wreck it like we do every single week and have done for the past 20-some-odd years. And they were some odd years. My name is Frank Cthulhu, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Dr. Popoli's in the house soon. So stay with us. The Bard of Broadcasting is on the air. The godfather of internet radio, the third man, the vegetable man. Netarati, couples, surfers, netaholics, and infomaniacs. Be Curious Yellow, philosophical entertainment and relevant irreverence, merges into one huge figure right here with me, Frank Cthulhu. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Welcome everyone who has heard the announcement and who has come here for the live show on this June 9th. Y2K plus 16, an hour earlier than we ever went on the air. Summer hours, due to circumstances that are none of your business. Right here on Cthulhu Chronicles. Everything else will move as usual through the evening, through the minutes and the hours. We'll just be here for 2 hours, and then something will happen before Mr. Tom Savino's Savino Veritas, if you're listening live. If not, it makes no difference whatsoever if you're listening lifelike to any number of the stations that run this show when it's not live, but lifelike, then that announcement is moot. It's a moot announcement. But you know what's not moot? Wake up. It's night. Even though I have not seen such light while doing this, looking out into the North 40 of the terrain owned by me, Frank Cthulhu, the sun has not set yet on this empire, I may add. And so it's very beautiful to look out there and not just see. It'll be totally black. It'll be as if, and look through the windows, it'll be as if a paint spray comes, or a curtain, just a such a curtain. Why talk about paint when you do that? And it'll turn to complete darkness. But what is not dark is the enlightening that you will partake in receiving. Mr. Dr. Gary Popoli, his name, Mr. No, you know, you earn a title like a doctor, professor. You need to be addressed with it. Dr. Gary Popoli. Gary, you know, Gary is such a weird name because it's a name. Like Larry is short for Lawrence, but Gary is not short for Gorance, right? Gary. Gary Antilles. You know, what is the full name of Gary? Just a Gary? Joey is Joseph. Huh? Joey, Joseph. Jackie is, I don't know. But Gary is not short for anything. It's just not short for anything. It's Garyosity. I don't know. We'll ask him. Well, we won't ask him. Well, we won't care. But there are many great Garys in the world. We're never known by anything else. So what would you do to Gar, I guess, would be. Why am I talking about something so insignificant as his name? Because his name is not insignificant. I couldn't even say it. My name is Frank Cthulhu. Down the hallelujah trail we go, even though we go an hour earlier at this particular point, and we'll go until, you know, the same amount of time that this show does, that you invest in this show, if you listen to it completely through it. We advise you to replenish your precious bodily fluids as you go along, because you do not want to dehydrate, certainly not while listening to this show. That could be lethal. I'm surprised the health department, is there a health department? The health the World Health Organization, does not put a label on this program that says, beware of dehydration during the broadcast of this show, because that could be dangerous whenever you dehydrate. But if you dehydrate during the show and you don't, I mean, you don't even know when dehydration begins. And it begins, because someone will say, you know, you're dehydrated. I am? Then what should I begin? Oh, does it begin when you get dizzy? Do you get dizzy? I don't know. There's so much I don't know about dehydration, and this is not a show about dehydration. I don't even know what Dr. Gary Popley has in mind, but we will learn shortly when we get him on the Skype-a-phone, because we're still using the Skype-a-phone, and you can, but anyway, replenish your precious bodily fluids. I have my coffee, and how is my coffee, everyone? I'll give you a chance to say it. Black as hell, strong as death, sweet as love. I sound like Boris Karloff. Black as, you know, wait, let me get in tune. You got to get in tune to imitate Boris Karloff, right? You go, antipasto, black as hell, strong as death, and sweet as love, antipasto. It's funny how you have to say a foreign word to imitate Boris Karloff. And I'll tell you another amazing thing. X percentage and a high percentage of the complete 100% circle that is everything, of the listeners, fans, or whatever, do not know Boris Karloff. So, so there. And here I am teaching youngins, young people. You know, it's funny because the other day I saw Woody Harrelson doing something on television. And this was already 10 years old. And there were people, he was talking to two people, young people, and they said something about 1987. They went, no, it was 97. They said, we weren't even alive in 1997. And I'm going, how is that possible? How is that possible? Yeah, I watch the, and then, you know, because then I watch on the, you know, the History Channel, you watch the History Channel, right? And that talking, speaking of history. So I'm watching this thing about Caligula, whose name is not Caligula. You know, his real name was like Joe Smith or something. Caligula. I don't know where he got that, but he got a big C on his T-shirt, on his tunic. Not his, not T-shirts in those days, that tunics, which could be a T-shirt. If you didn't call it a tunic, you could say it was a shirt. It was a T-shirt, a T-robe or something like that. So he is living till what? These guys didn't live very long back then in the Roman Empire. And this is after Christ. You would think after Christ, people would start living longer. But I guess they started living shorter because they were all punished for... Oh, where am I going with this? I don't know. I'm sounding like the anti-Joel Osteen. I could be the anti-Joel Osteen. The one from the Bizarro universe. Does anyone remember Superman? Yes. You see, because Superman keeps getting rebooted into movies, and there's still comic books out there. I think they're $9 each, but there's still comic books out there of Superman. And in the early Superman comics, and, you know, you heard, if you listen from the top of the show, you heard the Heckle and Jekyll cartoon. Heckle and Jekyll. Who knows Heckle and Jekyll? Do kids know Heckle and Jekyll? And when I say kids, I'm talking about people in your 20s. If you're 21, 22, 23, you're kids now. You're members of the millennial generation. You'd be 16. You'd have to be born in, what, 2000? I don't know. I haven't really figured that one out. But Superman got rebooted, so you should know Superman. You just don't know the old Superman. But in the old Superman, there was this guy called Bizarro Man. Bizarro Man. And he came from a universe where everything was the opposite. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Bizarro Man. I'm terribly wrong, and I'm sorry about that, because it just came to me. I was the saloon doors opened, and out came, popped out, the Mr. Mixopolix. It was Mr. Mixopolix who came from the world of... This is the way I pronounce his name, and I have no idea, because it had such a strange spelling. It was M-Z-M-Z-L-I-P-L-X or something. I called him when I read them. I was a kid. I wasn't that young, but I mean, I read the Superman. I could read. I had to be old enough to read. I read Superman, and his name was Mr. Mixopolix, and he looked like a little... leprechaun. See how that word just deformed itself? The letters came together in my mouth. He looked like a little leprechaun. He was a short guy, would have been, and he had a hat. And Mr. Mixopolix. And I called him Mixopolix because I didn't want to learn how to pronounce it. And then nobody ever pronounced it. I had friends who read the comic. And they said, Mr. Miz Conkalablinkinkuk. And everybody said the name of this character different. But I thought it would be easier if I just had a name that sounded a little bit like what was written in terms of the phonetic letters. So I called him Mr. Mixopolix. Now, here's the point of this, if there is any point at all. Mr. Mixopolix came from a world. Oh, no, wait a second. That was the Bizarro. The Bizarro world, there was Mr. Mixopolix, but one of these characters lived in came from a universe where everything was the opposite. That's what I'm trying to say. So, and that was that had its rules too. So forward was backward, up was down, pretty was ugly. So everything in this other universe, and there was a Bizarro Superman. See, there was a Superman who wasn't Superman. He was a Bizarro Superman. So he had these strange sugar cube face with gleaming. I don't even know how they. I don't know who figured this one out, but I think they should all be taken outside and shot because it was terrible. I mean, we wanted real villains. But Mr. Mixopolix, which I still like to say the name like that, but the Bizarro world. So why I brought the Bizarro world up is an entirely alien thought at the moment. But I brought it up because it's like I'm in the, I'm living in the Bizarro world compared to some listeners, I think that's what I was going to say. The millennium people who are listening. Hearing Heckle and Jekyll sing Give Us a House to Wreck for the first time, and then people wondering, what is it? Why does it sound so weird? Why doesn't it sound like it came from an audio recorder of 75 tracks on one particular computer? I don't know. I have no idea. I do know this, though. You're listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. My name is Frank Cthulhu, a man whose name joins the title of the show. Wake up, it's night. Mr. Gary Popoli, Dr. Gary Popoli, will be with us. And I think if you're listening live, I mean you're alive. See, I put the pronoun in the wrong place. If you're listening to the live version of this as it's happening, as it happens at the very moment and second that it happens, even though there might be a delay, which means it's live, but there's still a delay. I should tell you that I think Dr. Andrew Waldor is on Savino Veritas tonight, and he's always fascinating. Got to get Dr. Waldor on here again to talk about other stuff, because I hear Michio Kaku, who, if you don't know Michio Kaku, sure you do. Any millennials know Michio Kaku. Did you hear that Michio Kaku found a proof of God? I got to go back and read this again. It's proof of God through science. That's going to be, let me tell you something, they're going to be building statues of this guy if he has found something that makes any kind of sense. But as Gary tells us, and as Dr. Waldo always tells us, everything's a theory. Even your theory. So it makes no, you're a theory, I'm a theory. You know, I'm a pepper, you're a pepper. We're all theories and continuous. You know what we are too? We're perpetual motion machines until we die. From the moment we're born, even before we're born, when we're still in the womb, we're moving around. There's not a lot of places to go, but we move around as we flex our muscles and learn that we have them. But we don't know they're called muscles, and we don't know what we're doing in this place. We have no idea. You realize when you're born, you have no idea you're going to be born. Well, in any event, in all events, certainly this event, I invite all you neo-postmodernists to stay with us through the summer until further notice. We will be broadcasting from 8 Eastern to 10 Eastern, not 9 to 11. And this is true. Of all the years we have been on, and there have been many, over 20, because next year, SRN Media Works, who picked us up after we lost the when they picked it, that's already their 20th anniversary. Now, we weren't with them for 20 years, but we were there before. We were somewhere before. But so that gives you an idea of how long we've been here from the beginning of the streaming, fast streaming, high quality streaming internet stuff that went on here and allowed everybody, the cable, the CR1, what was that original thing called? AL1 or AD1, got a D9. And then they used to say, like, I got a D5, I got a D10, whatever that was called. All these fast, super quick super quick and fast. Why do I have to say both of them? What am I, a walking thesaurus? Hey, speaking of thesaurus, we're still thinking about doing that musical, Thesaurus. Did you hear last week's show? Any show you want to hear that is an archive show, a past show, you can go to juicedtalk.com and not necessarily right after this show, maybe a day or two or what have you, you can hear the show that just happened. And you will hear, what is that? You will hear others if you download them. And what is this? Who just did that? And you will be able to hear them. This is somebody that shouldn't even be called the boo-booping. Someone boo-booping. You know, when you got Skype and there's all sorts of things. What? All right, hey, I'm just going to ignore this person because all these people that you get for Skype, you know, now I got to look for Dr. Popoli again. And I know he's here and I know he's already online. We're going to talk to him shortly. But we're not going to talk to him for a short time. We're going to talk to him for the rest of the hour. But what else did I want to tell you is I want you to don't forget Grandpa Barry, almostheartwarmingstories.com. Why don't you get on over there and hear that stuff that's going on? You know, Heather Drain is now online. Anybody wants to get in touch with her? We got to get Heather back on the show to talk about something else. Where is he? Hey, where'd he go, Dr. Popoli? I got you somewhere here. I'm going to get Dr. Popoli and hoping that that's... look at this. He said, now he didn't put it under doctor. He put his account under Gary. Can anybody, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, well, he should be here before that, right? Everybody, wait, let me move this microphone here. You could have how many? You could have many, many accounts then on this, can't you? Now he's gone. I told you my name and everything. I want you to go to, and I want to thank everybody who's been buying the books over there at Amazon, the Francatolo books, even though there have been incidences of, now I forgot what it's called, bootleg. Wow, isn't that something? There have been incidences of bootlegging. I don't know where that what's happened, but there are still sales, and you can still buy it. I implore you to buy it. It's only $2.99. Any reason? But you know what? If it's a difference, if $2.99 is a lot of money for you, or if you go to More Molotov Memoirs or Molotov Memoirs at Blurb, BLURB.com, get the digital versions of those. If $5.99 or $2.99 is too much for you, and here's how you know it's too much for you. If the difference between eating food, because you have to have food and nourishment, it's Dr. Popoli, it's not even, look at this, he called in and it's, look at this, and the quality's completely off here. Oh, you can't hear me? Oh, you can't? You have no picture tonight?
Yeah, I got everything.
I don't have a pair. I don't see you.
You don't?
No.
Okay. I must have to make an adjustment.
Yeah, right. You must have to make an adjustment. Okay, make the adjustment and I'll call you right back.
Okay. All right.
All right. So if $2.99 or what? We'd like to give you unlimited calling for free. So on top of your usual free, we can also friend. What are they talking about here at Skype? Jesus. If you have to eat and the difference between eating and buying that book, $5.99 or $2.99, anywhere between $2.99 and $5.99, if that means, that amount of money means so much to you, because there's a difference between you eating or reading, because you can't read this, even if it was, you know, but you can't never afford the analog version. There are no analog versions of the ones on Amazon. So what I'm telling you is eat first and don't dehydrate. Drink and eat first, take care of your health, then buy, then save up $2.99. Okay, so there's that. Now let's see, I'll call Gary by, and we'll see if we get him. I think we'll get him this time on the, and you don't know, it doesn't matter to you because you're not seeing it, but I would get to see Dr. Gary while we're talking. You won't. And apparently, and this has happened in the past too, Dr. Popoli has some problems dealing with this. Hey, would you like to leave him a message? Okay, now he doesn't answer, okay? So that's, no thanks, no answer, just connect. Skype. Sometimes, don't you wonder, I guess, see, call failed, call dropped. Sometimes I think, And I guess you can't help this because it's a an human nature to feel victimized at various, let's call them again, at various, for various reasons. But when things that usually work don't work, and then you find out, oh, you know, they're getting ready to want you, they want you to pay for this or what have you, and do this, that, the other thing. Call failed, huh? So when that happens, you start to think like, oh, man, now this stuff is not working for the free people, right? I am one of the free people, I may add. Okay, let's see if, let's type in here. Gary, calling, but call is being dropped. The people at Skype don't give a hoot about this. You know, they don't care. You have no idea. Maybe if I, you know, I'll make myself, I learned this the other day. I learned that if you click your status, if you click your status on Skype, sometimes you don't get, I'm going to call them again. Sometimes you don't, you're unable to perform even the simple functions because it says you're not online or what have you. I think you could be away and operate it. No, you see, now I'm, it says online and not. I better put away. Otherwise, a lot of freaks are going to get into it. It's getting worse, I may add. Gary Popoli is now online. Okay, fine. It's getting very strange. Yeah, there you go. It's getting stranger and stranger out there in the cyber world. Now, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, well,
Watch this. Watch. Now, can you see me?
No, it says, there, that's you, but you're so little and you're on the side. Ah, there you are. Hey, how about those Yankees?
They're the greatest, aren't they?
Oh, nobody can see this, of course, but I. Garrett, Dr. Popoli, is wearing a New York Yankees baseball cap as if he is a member of the New York Yankees or something, right?
Well, you know, I'm an Orioles fan.
Orioles?
Orioles.
Orioles. Orioles. Not the cookie, the baseball team, my friends.
And, of course, my youngest daughter lived in New York for many, many years, five or six.
Yeah, it's many, and many, yeah.
She went to the, you know, Yankee Stadium several times.
Not the original one. I was at the original one.
Right. The one that Billy Joel closed out?
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that one, I thought that was Shea Stadium. I thought he closed out Shea Stadium.
I thought he closed out the Yankee Stadium, but I could be wrong.
I hope they close him out.
Oh, that's not right. I like him.
Yeah, I know, but he's passe. He's gone. You got his record. You listen to his record.
Anyway, my daughter would go.
But you got to still not like those Yankees. You know, some people think the Yankees are passe. I can't name one Yankee anymore. I was into baseball too at one time.
Of course, you know A-Rod.
Oh, he's still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
I know his brother. I love his brother Pretzel.
And how about Mark Teixeira? You know, he went to a local high school right
Never
here.
Heard of him. Never heard of him. This is like having Tom Savino on the show. Tom Savino is like, what? No, I never heard of him. I don't know any of these guys anymore. Okay. Are they in first place? Are they?
No, they're behind the Orioles. I think they might be next to last.
Why don't you have an Orioles hat then?
I do have an Orioles hat.
Well, why are you wearing a Yankee hat? Because of me?
Hold on a second.
Oh, he's going to go get his Orioles hat now. Like, this matters. This is radio. This is not television, even though I could see him. Somebody was asking me, a fan was asking me to get on Vaughn, to stream on Vaughn. I might do that like just one time, just to show you how we shouldn't do this every week. I'm going to is Brooks Robinson still there?
He's still alive.
Orioles, and how I know them because when I was into baseball in college, New York Mets took them for a ride. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big thing for New Yorkers if you were in New York then.
Those Mets.
You know, Mets is short for Metropolitans. They're really, it's the New York Metropolitan Baseball Team.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was Orioles short for?
They're short for Orioles, the famous blackbird with orange wings.
Not like Heckle and Jekyll. They were magpies, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought they were crows.
No, they're magpies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now listen, I wanted to tell you too.
Okay.
Caligula's full name.
Oh, good. You heard me. I was talking about Caligula. What was his real name?
His first name was Gaius, G-A-I-U-S.
Gaius.
Gaius Julius Caesar Augustus Germanicus.
So Germanicus, so Gaius Germanicus is really his name.
Yeah. Be confused with Julius Caesar.
Caesar. I had a Julius. An orange Julius Caesar.
Who was his great-great uncle or something.
What? Where did he get Caligula? Does it say there? Because I don't remember where he picked up this name.
It's a popular nickname for him. And then it goes into
But it means
Caligula
something.
Was a member of the House of Rulers, conventionally known as the Julio-Claudian Dynasty.
Dynasty?
Yeah.
But what does it mean, Caligula? Does it mean like son of the devil or devil is a pleasure seeker or something?
No, it just looks like a rockhead.
All right. Because I was thinking of changing my name to Caligula Catolo. That'd be good, huh?
Well, I'll just
the Caligula Chronicles.
Sure.
Well, you know, I was saying that too. Larry is short for Lawrence, but then you get this name Gary.
That's my father's name, Lawrence.
Yeah, but Gary is not short for anything, and yet it sounds like a nickname, doesn't it?
Right, and right. But when my parents used to get mad at me, they used to call me Garrison.
Why is that? That parents used to, I don't know, I don't think they do this anymore.
When they
use
your full name, you're in trouble.
Yeah, they where they'd make up this particularly serious name, intellectual academia name. Okay, my mother used to call me Master Philippe. And I have no idea. I knew I was in trouble. Listen to me, Master Philippe. What is that all about, Master Philippe? Your mother used to call you Garrison because of Gary.
Garrison.
Yes, Garrison.
But you see, she wanted to, because my father's name had AR in it, she wanted names of her children to have AR. So my brother's name is Mark, and I'm Gary with the AR.
My parents wanted to do that too, but they really, hopefully, thank you for also for knowing the middle. Oh, we got a stream problem. Uh-oh, come on. Wait a second. I got a short problem here. Hello?
You there?
Streaming problem. We're still on recording here too, but we have a little glitch going on here. Hold on there a second. I'm trying to, Gary Popoli, we've lost you too. Okay, we're back. Wow, it was one of those, you know, when it buffers, it just threw out a whole bunch of, look at that, the whole time changed, the whole streaming time changed. Okay, can you hear me now? You're okay?
Yeah, where are
That's
you,
weird.
In your bedroom?
This is weird. No, I'm in the Cthulhu Chronicles studio here, Cool Noise Studios, and I have no idea what just happened, but, you know, you just can't tell.
Right.
In this particular thing, it fixes itself too. You know, there's no moving parts. You can't go in there and go like, "Well, it's that screw." You know. Listen, Garrison, Dr. Garrison Popoli was with us today, Dr. Garrison Popoli, to discuss some behavioral, some statistics and studies in new behavioral science. How's it going? Are you doing anything? Are you doing summer school?
No. No, my summer school usually consists of me sitting on the beach observing behaviors.
Oh, okay. So beach, you know, that's over to the beach. You're not serving crabs and oysters though over
no,
at
no, anymore? No, not serving crabs and oysters.
did they not
teach during the summer? But enrollments at the schools are way down.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because of money?
I think a lot of things. You know, I think. You know, to be honest with you, I think people realize now that, you know, going to college or going back to school or whatever the case may be is a long, hard journey. And so I think they get enthusiastic about it and sign up for the courses and things and then realize that they have to work and they have children and they have family obligations and they have, you know, travel time and have to study and take tests and write papers. And then it just becomes overwhelming for them. And I think they then just give up.
Why are people's lives so crowded? Why are their daily lifestyles so more crowded than they ever were? Does that have a direct connection to the digital society, the digital world, and how that plays a role in your life anymore? Or why?
Well, you know, I would say no.
Any studies on that?
The only thing is the fact that the you know, the younger generation is addicted to their phones.
But that and would not...
No, it wouldn't. So...
That would only help. It should only help them, right? It should help them because they have that... They're cut at their fingertips or access to information and things they need to know, right?
Right, but they put... In my opinion, they put too much on their plate. So if you have children and you have to work... For example, I've had students who have a child, work two jobs, and then don't show up for tests because they overslept and couldn't hand their paper in on time because they were working. And then they wanted to know why they didn't pass. And it's because I don't think you can go to college and do everything that's required of you there if you are, for one thing, commuting, another thing, working two jobs, having a child. You know,
why doesn't college, the way college runs, why doesn't it adapt to the people that it teaches? If this is a common thing with, or if it's, you know, if it's the majority of people who come into college having these problems, why doesn't college adapt to it by not giving so much or, you know, organizing it so that it fits the student more appropriately in their lifestyle?
Well, some of the online colleges are starting that. They're not doing testing and things like that. You have to basically, you don't have courses per se. You have a course. There are certain things that you have to get out of that course. Once you learn them, you move on to the next course. And you do it online, on your time, whenever you want to do it, and as quick or as long as you want to take to do it.
So you're doing a course, and you can't think... You don't think about any other course or what that or how heavy that might be to carry or anything. You just know what you have to get done and accomplished, correct? And
right.
And that's what you
right.
have to do. Now, if that happens to be a lot, you can't make it less because you know that the kids have to go over here. And then now there's another guy doing another, you know, introduction to scientific temperature taking or whatever, science of
right.
the introduction
right.
to thermometer use or whatever. And they know they have X amount to do. So you're saying it's really up to the student to say, look, I can only carry this amount because I can't do this much. I remember carrying 18 credits. That's considered a lot, 18 a week, right?
Yes, yes.
That is a lot. Now, equivalent, does that have an equivalence to like money? In other words, when I was carrying 18 credits, $10 was worth more. If you're carrying 18 credits now, is it heavier? Is it a bigger burden than it was?
Well, the thing is this, credit hours or credits are measured in the amount of time that you're supposed to spend in class.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, a thing to be in class 3 hours a week.
Right.
And then you're supposed to allot another 3 hours a week for out of classroom activities. You are going to be 18 hours a week. Uh-huh. The rest of the nights are on weekends or whatever. Then you're going to have papers to write and study time for tests. And so for every 3-credit course you add on, it becomes that much more difficult.
How come you hear guys like, I'm not going to anyone in specific, but you always hear like senators and congressmen saying things like, when I was going to college, I had two jobs and I had to do this and that and this. And I had to go, what is the difference between somebody going to college there and going to college today?
Well, I think that the people that said they had the two jobs, I had a job when I went to college and graduate school, but it was on weekends. I worked at, you know, the track.
But you still lived at home.
I still lived at home.
And these
I had
people
a car,
lived at,
and right. I was a commuter. And you know, and to be honest with you, when I came home from school every day, I did my homework immediately.
I did
write my papers. And I, you know, because... it's a responsibility that you have to have if you're going to sign up for these courses.
Did you have anybody when you were a child or growing up in your years of, you know, you and I are both very Freudian people. Did you have somebody who said to you a lot, said things like, to be honest with you? Did that phrase come from?
Because yeah,
you say that an awful that. Lot. Did you know?
Yes,
did you know?
It
something?
Was. It was.
Who was it? I'm always
Probably
interested in these.
My aunt.
So you had an aunt who always said, to be honest with you.
To be honest with you. Right. And my brother used to, you know, use a little bit different language to me. And my mom and dad didn't always say, to be honest with you. But it was aunts or extended family or, you know, sometimes friends if you ask their advice about something.
I find these things come into our individual lexicons based on somebody who had some kind of impression upon us because they talked to us and said things and then we picked that up.
Well, there are three things now that drive me nuts that
people
the
say
younger generation says.
Yeah, but you're gonna talk about now when you're talking about generational phrases, that's different than somebody
right.
who says like
right.
okay.
But
go
I'm
ahead
saying today.
Okay.
Today, one is
what?
Having said that
now that wait a second, that really goes back though. That's an old one.
Well, see, I never heard it when I was young.
Really? Okay.
I heard it, you know, in the past 10
okay.
years I hear it.
But I guess the volume of use has increased greatly.
Right.
Okay.
How about this one?
What?
Be that as it may.
Oh, God. Now, that's also a very, very old
yes.
one. But I didn't know college kids were saying that.
Right.
I hope you're not going to say the one I hate the most next. Or if you do, would you agree with?
No.
No?
How about?
What?
Every time, you know, I listen to a lot of radio and I listen to a lot of news. And nowadays, when they interview people, they always start the answer to the question with the word so.
So.
So, in the laboratory, we need to do this. And say, well, are things getting worse today? So, the statistics seem to show that. And
so,
always so.
I didn't
so.
Know. Yeah, I noticed a while back, because I mentioned this, when a person who's being interviewed, and usually someone political or what have you, wants to express an answer, give an answer that isn't necessarily the answer, they'd start it like this. So you would say, so what do you think about the current administration? And this is how they'll start. Look. How about
right.
look? Right? Look.
Right.
You know they're going down another path right there, right? Look.
Right.
When I say look, and sometimes they do it in the middle. They break their own thought and stream. They sound like, I think about this new administration. Here's how he would answer. He would answer and go, this current administration has a number of problems. Look, what I'm saying is, look, stop, look. It's like they push the look button. Look.
Right.
And that drives me nuts. I thought you were going
to,
you know.
This is what I do just on purpose to drive my students nuts.
What?
They'll ask me a question. I'll say, for example, you know, say John asked me a question. I'll say, John, first of all, A, you're not allowed to do that.
Oh, God, you put him in alphabet? You do it like that?
No, and then I say, what? Two.
Two.
And then they always get real serious. They say, you can't say it like that.
You, I love that.
You,
love that, yeah. you can't.
You
I have the
letters.
I have the manual right here. You are not allowed to say it like that. And you should go, look, I say it the way I want to say it because I'm the teacher. Here's the one I hate that, and I've done kind of editorials on this completely. It just drives me nuts. And I don't remember this when I was younger. This is not an old one. When somebody does not really want to explain something, or they don't want to, or they have an aversion to dealing with it, they say, and I never let anybody get away with this, they go, well, it is like it is.
Right.
What a cop out.
It is what it is.
Of course, it's what, that's what we're talking about. The subject is this. Here's the earth. Right? Here's the earth. Let's talk about the earth exploding. And they go, well, it is what it is. What? It is the earth. That's all they're saying back. Answer now from a psychological point of view, from a behavioral science. When do people use these things as diversions? What is actually going on when somebody doesn't want to answer or finds a phrase or something to just toss it off?
Actually, for elderly people, it's... there's a phrase for it. Let me see if I can think of it offhand. where they say nothing, mission error answer, because they get nervous thinking they're going to be wrong, so they don't answer it. People who use that as a defense mechanism, they get off track because you're challenging them. So they think, look, if you look at it this way.
Look, I'm going to change the subject here, Brad. Look. Why? What the heck is wrong with being wrong? People don't want to basically be wrong. Is that it?
Yes, that's exactly right.
And that comes from a sense of, now let's keep you know, cracking away at this. Does it all come down to fear and insecurity? Or?
Either I think, me personally, I think it all comes down to
fear,
not knowing enough. Whether you want to call it uneducated, not having the facts straight, not, you know, for let me give you an example.
Okay.
I was playing cards with a bunch of friends, and they started talking about how terrible the service is of the post office, the postal service.
Sure.
And I said, well, you know what? Actually, my experience has been quite different. I've used UPS, I've used FedEx, I've used the postal system, and, you know, sometimes I mail things from my house and it gets to the person the next day. So I really don't have a problem with that. And so the person said, well, look at all the money that they waste. And I said, well, you know, none of it is taxpayer money. They get no federal money at all. You got to be kidding. You didn't realize what deficits they must. I said, yeah, but none of it is taxpayer money.
Because you're talking about when it went into, when it became a private corporation, you mean?
Right. But it is a private corporation. Right. And it's self-sustainable,
mm-hmm.
is the way it works.
So, but these people.
This person was adamant about the fact that they're wasting taxpayers' money.
Which isn't a fact. The fact that he believed, what he believed to be true.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now, this is something that really comes into play, this particular moment in history, because of our presidential candidate.
Right.
And one in particular who that is that in the past, like I'm going to give a good example. I was talking to a younger person who didn't remember when Richard Nixon was running in 68, right, because they were, you know, babies.
Right.
Okay. And I said, you know what, when Donald Trump says, I have a plan, but I'm not going to tell you. I'd be stupid to publicly talk about my plan to destroy ISIS, right? Because then they'll know, right? Okay.
Right.
And I say, well, you know, there's nothing new about that. Because if you go back to when Richard Nixon was running against Humphrey, he said, I have a plan to end the Vietnam War. He said, I have a plan. And people believed it and went with it, as opposed to asking for detail. It's another typical, you know, I have an excuse for that. But the thing is, in other areas where tell and then people buy it. Now, your friend here completely believed, wow, I'm having all sorts of crazy stuff going on my computer. Your friend completely, he was convinced, and he didn't have to give you, he just hammered the thought. He didn't say to you, but look, here are the facts.
Right.
Because there are no facts. But he wanted not to be wrong. What?
Or it wasn't that he just didn't know.
Well, yeah, but if you don't know, how can you,
as a result of not knowing,
if you don't know,
how with what you think,
how can you argue something you don't know?
Now,
what drives you? Don't you eventually have to go, well, I guess I really don't have information on that. Don't you really have to stop and say,
you know, someone, now I'm not saying this to be braggadocious or you know, think that I'm uppity up, but someone asked me, they asked me all the time when I play cards with these gentlemen, they say, of course, they always talk about politics, which I try not to get into because right. I'm always the only one on one side.
Yeah, right.
So they said, well, why is it that all of these college graduates and people who have these advanced degrees think completely different than the people who don't have them? So, for example, you know, nowadays, the data is pretty clear that if you are a non-college graduate and you're Caucasian, you love Trump. If you are a college graduate with an advanced degree, then you like Hillary. So you can almost tell someone's, you don't have to ask them who they're voting for. Ask them, say, do you have any kind of degree? No. You know, I'm a you know, police officer and you know, I just graduated from high school and went, and then you say, oh, so you love Trump. Well, that's not why I love him. I love it. So it becomes, you know, so my answer to them is that I think that I spent 6 years on my master's degree. I spent 10 years on my PhD. That when you sit in these classes and you read these books and these articles and this research and write papers, and you literally start to think about things a lot different than the way you used to think about things. And so it's in psychology, we call it post-formal thought, things like dialectical thinking. You know, every mm-hmm. truth bears an opposite truth.
Right.
The fact that when my mother-in-law comes over and says, well, milliseconds, I process all this information. And even though I can't stand the way it looks, I tell her it's nice. Because I've already analyzed what's going to happen if I tell her it's horrible. You with me?
Yes.
So I do think that education makes you think differently about things.
Okay, but that's not necessarily just college. I mean, someone could be well-read and someone could be well-informed or what have you, and right?
I'm just using, you know, discrete things like a college education, but you're right. I think it's education, however you're educated.
Yeah, because, you know,
you look at things differently.
Absolutely. The more you absorb, the more you don't just rely on set black and white things. That is not a matter of just seeing things black and white and then going like, wow, there's a whole big space in between this that makes the black white, you know.
Right.
That's a comfort zone with people, isn't it? Isn't it very comfortable for people to know, listen, where I stand and I know why and that's it. I don't want, right?
But see, I don't think it's so comfortable because if you challenge it, they get very upset.
So then what? Okay, so let's get to what is that?
Again, I think it's, you think this is the way it is because you think this is how things are.
Because you want it that way? What is the reason?
Probably because you want it that way, right? And so you just go with it.
But if you want,
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. This is how you got to, you know.
But if you want it that way, you think that's, if you're defining right and wrong in an argument, there's got to be a reason why you want it that way and you're not at all flexible.
What I have found with when it comes to politics, so many people are have the same views as their parents.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
That's what I think.
Okay.
And so, you know, if their parents believe that social programs ruining this country, you talk to them now and say, those social programs, they ruin this country.
You hear it all constantly.
Right.
Just hear
it. And then you say to them, well, what social programs are you talking about? Well, I don't think anybody should own a house that never had a job.
I never heard that one.
Right. I said, well, where did you get that one from? So then they say, well, I'll say to them, well, then how about Medicaid? Well, nobody should get Medicaid. I said, well, what's the difference between Medicaid and Obamacare? Or Medicaid expansion and Obamacare? Well, I don't know, but you shouldn't get it. you see what I mean?
What happens to us? I grew up with that. And I've talked about that so many times here in terms of my parents. And that is that this is, they would, well, not my mother, but him and my father, and the whole male maelstrom of, you know, that generation.
Right.
And they would say things like, look, this is the way it is. End of story. And they would tell you these things. And you'd try to argue with, was it because we read more and saw more or looked at, we became smarter? Which seems right now not to be a very big feat, you know? But it's like, my father used to get angry at me when I demanded his expression, when he expressed something to me, have a particular subject verb, you know, because he would ask something and he only knew how to ask it because he was, you know, not, well, you know, he's not well educated, right?
So exactly, right?
He would say, for instance, and this is, it would be, and I told the story before, but I'll tell you in case you never heard it. The television's on, and then suddenly there's this interference. Now, this is the old days when you got antennas and stuff, okay? And suddenly the television, there's a distortion. And right. You hear it go, you know, when your lines come across the screen and everything, right?
Right.
And my father would say, every single time, he went, oh, somebody must be using something.
The toaster.
And when you're a very little kid, world is so connected that somebody somewhere, it could be anyone, we don't know who, someone puts on a shade, does something with a plug or something, and it could be in China, and it comes all the way over and affects our TV. And you've got to try to make it out in your head, because the point I'm saying is like, well, Dad, what do you mean? Who, someone, where? Someone somewhere, okay, someone is using something. Are they using what if they're using a wind-up clock? You use wind-up clocks. Can you use, can't, it won't happen with that. And then you're stupid. It can't happen with a wind-up clock. You don't plug it in. So their defenses, and so they can't. But they can't even explain what they think. And people do that with when they try to explain what they think. And then they just stop at the point of having to make their case, right? Right? I mean, because that's what they want? Or because you're defying their authority? Maybe in terms of parents, but what? Like these friends you sit and play with, and play cards with whom you play cards. With whom you play cards. They're just going to spout these things out. Like, I mean, why even spout them out? What are you looking to find?
Well, here's what I'd say. My wife hates when I do this. She said, please don't do that if I'm with you. But somebody will say, well, what do you think about what's going on politically? And I say, wait a minute. Do you have a PhD? No, I don't have a PhD. I said, then we can't discuss it because you won't agree with anything I have to say.
So you're immediately saying, yeah, you're smart enough to have this conversation, but...
Right. Only 1% of the population in this country have PhDs or MDs. Uh-huh. And 94% of them are Democrats.
Oh, wow.
So I say, well, why is that? I mean, it's not because, you know... If they're making great money, they automatically want to give it away to social programs, which is what you think when you think Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so wow. I usually try to refrain from discussing.
Well, all of this really has to do with the fact that people are driven by what? Their feelings to be, you want to be wanted. I want you to know I know something. I want you to know. What are they trying to do? Define themselves? Be important.
They want to look like they're the authority figure.
Now, what exactly is that with the human beings? Is that
person in control, the person who has the ability to change the others in the room?
Why? I'm just trying to get my head around this thing, and we'll do that as we move on. So we've already gone an hour. Let me just tell everyone, Dr. Garrison Popoli is with us tonight here on the summer hours of Cotolo Chronicles. We'll be here still to
and change your website.
Why?
To put the new times and all in there, because it still says 9:00.
Well, it doesn't on the blog. The blog said summer hours.
Well, this one, when I got on the blogspot.com.
Yeah, it said summer hours. It says summer hours. No, it says summer hours.
Yeah, there's some of theirs too.
I mean, that's. I thought I wrote in the copy there. Okay, so.
All right.
Okay, well, everybody driven, but what is it? Why? I don't really. I can't get my head around this stuff. You know, when you're wrong, you're wrong. or you made a mistake, or if that's an opinion and not the truth. Why do people fight? These are battles. Why do people fight?
People hate to be wrong.
Okay, where does that originate? From being part of something, or wanting to, not having any self-assurance, or what? Why must they be confirmed? Why must it be confirmed from other people that you're right, or what?
Being right usually brings you some sort of a reward or some sort of reinforcement. People say, yeah, I was with you all along. I knew that's what the case. I knew that's what it was. I knew. But if you're wrong, people look at you, or they'll look at somebody else and say, I don't know what you're talking about.
And
they feel defeated.
And to defeated is to feel less like a person?
It's to be less informed and made a fool of, and it hurts your self-esteem, and they're challenging your character, and your integrity's gone, and you thought for sure you knew the answer, and now you don't. And they can't just say, I was wrong.
I love doing this to people, and it works even if that's working subconsciously on me. But if someone asked me something, and I could just go, you've seen Rain Man, right? I just suddenly turn into this, I don't know. And the conversation pretty much ends there. Unless they go, well, I want to tell you. I don't know. I don't know. And you know, there's brilliance in those savants. They're
trying to shake your head this way and say, I don't know.
No. The more we learn. So is it all about getting smarter? Is that what life, is that what it's really all about? Is getting smarter you can.
Smarter is a very, just like intelligence. In psychology, we study intelligence, but first and foremost, it's a hypothetical construct. We really don't know what it is. So all we have are theories to try and explain what people think it is. And people define it different ways. So smart. Some people say that the smartest people are not the people that know the answers, but to know where to get the answers.
Ooh.
Some people say the smartest people are the people that get every question on Jeopardy correct.
Some people say that people who need people are the luckiest people in the world.
Right. Some people say that the smartest people in the world can write music for a 200-piece symphony in 30 minutes. So, when you take an IQ test, there's not a lot of music questions on there.
So
this is Howard Gardner's theory. But
Howard Gardner, I guess I was just talking about, you know what came up today? I got to try to remember this now. I was going to write it down, but I was in a car, and it's pretty difficult to write in a car. I'm getting red, big red signal. It says, call quality information. Okay, now it's white again. I'm getting all these strange notifications.
That's because I'm online. Look, I got a list of things to tell you.
Oh, okay. Why don't we start? Because otherwise I'm just going to, we're just going to take our conversation wherever it goes here now.
You might like this. Go. You might like this. I think it's time that I write this in a book. So if you have any publishers out there that want to, publish a bestseller.
If you want to get paid as you go along writing a book, forget about it, okay? Forget about it.
I'm teasing.
You say, forget about it.
This will be on the New York Times bestseller list for at least 7 years.
And you're going to give it away right now so somebody out there can beat you to it. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. I think we need to make people more knowledgeable and more educated about, now I looked up the definition of these two things. I think when I emailed you, I said hypocrisies.
Yes, you did.
But I think that based on definition, it's more a pretense than it is a hypocrisy. Because hypocrisy tends to have this religious connotation to it. So, for example, on dictionary.com, for pretense, number 6 says insincere or false profession.
That's hypocrisy?
What's that?
That's under hypocrisy?
No, it's under pretense.
Oh, under pretense.
So
okay.
I think it's a pretense.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Right.
A false show of something. Now, and this is the one that I like the best. The putting forth of an unwarranted claim.
The putting forth. of an unwarranted claim. Claim. Okay. Claim. Gotcha.
Okay. Now, I have a whole list of these things.
Okay.
For example, let's start off with how can politicians be Democratic, registered Democratic for years and years and years, and run as the Republican nominee? How can someone who's been an independent since the 60s all of a sudden be running for the Democratic nominee? I don't get that.
Well, isn't that just what they're doing? And if they are accepted, because that's just what happened.
Right. But again, they're accepted. So people just accept it and say, oh, that's okay. He can do that.
Yeah.
So there has to be a different.
Why does that bother you? I don't understand where that comes.
Let me give you a different one.
All right. Give me a different one.
Think of this. If I were going to say to you, if you had to name for me the one person or persons that in your opinion would be the least biased people in the country, who would you say?
Well, you know, this is honestly how I would approach this, okay? Okay. I would say, first of all, that it is what it is.
Right.
I don't know. You said that you're asking me who in the country, and I'm going, well, I'm going to have to start meeting some people here. I don't know any. I don't know enough people. You're saying who do? I don't know enough people to tell you.
Let me give you my answer. What I think should be or would be a great answer.
Good, do that.
Supreme Court judges.
No matter their political,
they should be the least biased of all people in this country. They make decisions about topics, of course, as you know, that become huge topics in this country. They don't hear every case.
That's why they were created.
But
they're not.
They're not.
No, they're not. Then there's no way
they're more biased, and everybody knows they're biased.
Right.
And so how can they judge anything fairly?
I don't think they can, because
that's my point.
Their opinions.
The pretense is people say, oh, well, they're as fair as you're going to get. No, they're not.
Well, maybe as fair as you're going to get, because nobody's going to be as fair as they should be.
Right. But it's like now there's a big to-do about, you know, the president nominating a Supreme Court judge, because there's four liberals, four conservatives, and they don't want another liberal on the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
they should base their decisions on the law, prior cases, objective evidence. Nothing subjective should come into it.
Yeah.
And then the thing I always get is, it's their interpretation. Well, if their interpretation is biased, then they shouldn't be a Supreme Court judge.
I wonder, I haven't done much reading in history of which one of our founding fathers or where they created this group of people and how they created them and what their qualifications. I haven't done that.
You do not have to be a former judge or an attorney to be a Supreme Court judge.